Add dry eye relief to your routine with Refresh Optive Mega 3, a lubricating eye drop with a moisture-rich, preservative-free formula enhanced with an active ingredient like flaxseed oil and antioxidants. This formula supports all three tear film layers and provides advanced hydration to instantly moisturize and soothe dry eyes. Refresh Optive Mega 3 is safe to use as often as needed, so you can make it part of your wellness routine. Find Refresh online or in the eye drop section at all major retailers. FSA and HSA eligible.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Do the Work Podcast. My name is Sabrina Zohar, and I am your host. Hi, friends. We have a bonus week. Yay! There are two episodes this week, and I am over the moon because I love bonus episodes. And so this week, we have Miss Anna Prizzi. She is, I mean, her last name is way longer than that, but we're just going to go with the shortened version. But I love Anna. She has her new book out called Keep It Up, Cutie. And she is just, she's an amazing content creator and kind of like just that best friend that you really need when you need them. And so I love Anna. We have a great conversation. We talk about her journey, mental health, and the importance of mental health on your journey and like how often that's overlooked. So there's a lot of laughs and a couple of tears in this episode. And I'm just really excited to share somebody else with you guys that I love and that I hope you guys love too. So guys, just a reminder, don't forget, please, please rate the fucking podcast. So many of you guys listen and so many of you are not rating it. Wherever you're listening, you can leave a review on Apple, on Spotify. You can leave just a star review. You can leave a written review. It means the world. It's how I can grow this podcast and continue to keep it free for you guys because we have our amazing sponsors. So show them some love. And if you're done with the ads and you want more content, great. Bonus content. The premium subscription is out. It's $7 a month. You get two extra episodes a month. Ask me anything, or you guys get to also tell me what episodes you want and I will create that for you guys and ad free. So that's all out. And guys, the last kind of a fun announcement is that the course is out and it is going and it is just fucking amazing. So it is an 8-week self-guided course. So once you have access to the course, you have lifetime access to it. You can come back because there's 3 different meditations on there. We do a lot of different journaling techniques and just a lot of new tools that are added in. And so I did it. I made it cheaper than a one-on-one. There is a payment plan that we are here for you guys, but it's under $400 total. So I did the best I could to give you guys something to be able to come back to be able to utilize. And because I won't be able to take as many one-on-ones and those are becoming more limited. So at least we have another way that you guys can start to do the work. And also there's a community. We have amazing people in there and everybody's helping each other and chiming in, and you go at your pace, you go at whatever pace that you need. So that's the beauty of the course, is it's there for you. And everything, as always, will be linked in the show notes. So please, please, guys, show some love. And you know what, if anything, if it's just following along on the socials or just listening to the podcast, that is more than okay. But if you guys need more, it is there for you. There's some free guides, there's some resources, a book list, whatever you guys need. So babes, without further ado, let's get right on into it, shall we? Anna, thank you so much for coming on and welcome to Do the Work Podcast and welcome to the studio. It's so good to have you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. That's my first in-person podcast ever. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited. I love popping cherries.
It's my first in-person interview ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yay. Yeah. Well, I'm super stoked. You drove all the way here from Michigan.
Yes.
Just to see me, of course.
Yeah, actually, we drove straight here from Michigan. We didn't stop. We came right to your house.
Because that's how important it is. I can't even say that with a straight face. But anyways, I'm so excited to have you. And for anybody in our audience who is not familiar, can you please share a little bit about who the fuck you are and how are we where we are? I love people's stories.
Loaded question. I would say, like, if anybody knows who I am, it's because I'm like a digital content creator. By evening and by day, I'm an event planner, and by weekends, I'm on tour or something.
that sounds about right.
I wish I had a better answer, but it was kind of like a snowball, like one thing after another. Like, I posted a couple things on the internet and they go viral, and you're like, well, now I'm famous and this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And that's obviously not true, but it did open doors. And I mean, I'm lucky that while I'm terrified of literally everything, like that's my, when I say like change is scary, but so is everything.
You're like, no, I mean that.
I mean, everything is terrifying. So when people offer me or like ask, like, have you ever considered doing a live show or have whatever? So now I've taken this mental health comedy content off of the internet and I'm performing it in real life. And apparently I wrote a book. There are people who are very strategic and like they come at their lives with a plan and like, this is how I'm going to do this and this is how I'm going to do this. And every single minute of the last 3 years has been like,
I can relate to that. I can relate in the sense of like just being your authentic self, like sharing something with the world and being like, let's see if this sticks. And then it sticks and you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. I'm like, I didn't do anything. I just was myself on camera in front of you and you like it. You think that's nice? I was like, well, I can do that. Like, I can tell you about my life. I mean, I'm living it, so.
Which I love, that's why I do love looking, watching your content, because it's like, I enjoy at the very least taking something that is like mental health, that is something that we have that's serious, but having a little bit of fun with it of like, if you can't laugh at yourself, then like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yes. And I mean, my story is like long and sordid, but my initial like foray into the mental health world was so unexpected and also so clinical that like, I've kind of never wanted it to be that way.
Yeah.
For anybody else, like when mental health, we talk about it and it's this huge, big, scary thing and people don't want to admit that they need help. And, you know, like my mom once said to me, it almost got bad enough that I got a therapist. And I was like, you know, you can just have a therapist when things are good. And so I just want to come let people know that like this is hard. Everything is hard. And we're all dealing with it. And everybody's maybe not saying that it's really fucking hard and that they're having a hard time. And I'm like, hey, just so you know, I'm having the worst time ever.
This is not fun for any party. Which is like, it's something, it's a cross I will fucking bear. Of I think for so long, like I'm kind of similar. Like my journey into mental health was like a family that you just didn't talk about that.
Right.
Like
Keep it to yourself.
Like even my dad will always call me like, you stop fucking telling people that you're sad. Like you should be happy. And it's like, okay, so let me add that to my list. Just be happy. That's all, right? So that's it.
Yes. Yes. My parents are the king and queen of keep it to yourself. And then like I also for, you know, most of my life became like the president of keep it to yourself. And then shocker of all shockers, everything fell apart multiple times.
Well, I was actually going to ask because like, and like, no, and before I even ask you a fucking question on that, because I do find that interesting. One thing I really do want to like yell a little louder is like us normalizing the fact that like mental health, this journey of healing is not pretty. It's not clean. It's not neat. It's not tied up with a fucking bow. It's dirty. It's messy. It's ugly. It's really involved, but it's like such a beautiful practice. But I think what really bothers me, like I started all this kind of same thing where I was like, all right, well, hey, I have something to say. Let me see if anybody cares about what I have to say. And that stemmed from personally me, my experience being like, look up anxious attachment style in the dictionary. And there, president, CEO and founder of like what that embodied. And I think for so many years, I felt like a fucking alien. I felt like every time you turn on the computer, there's some snake oil salesman or some fucking charlatan telling you, no, if you're doing that, you should be happy. And it's like, no one's actually saying you can heal through anxiety while also still having anxiety. And then you just learn how to fucking live with it.
Right. It's not like it's going to go away. There's no like I wish there was the potions and stuff. But it's like, no, like it's going to suck so much. But you're going to get better at it. You're going to work with yourself. Like for me, that's the biggest thing. It's like not working against myself.
Yeah.
Also getting to know myself, which was a whole other thing.
I was going to say, like, what did your journey look like? Because I always think it's so fascinating to see, like, how did people get on that? Like, coming from a background of, like, we don't talk about this. Therapy is yikes. No, to now being so open and vulnerable. Like, what did that look like for you in that moment of, like, I need to make a change?
Oh. So my, obviously, I literally didn't even know what mental health was until I was 19. And I was a track and cross country runner in college, and I had literally, when I think about my entire life, I had never done anything for myself.
Yeah.
Not once, right? Like, I didn't want to be a runner. I was a runner because my parents were elite athletes as well. I didn't want to, you know, like go to this Catholic college. I don't feel particularly like religious, but I'm gonna because that's because apparently we're Catholic and I'm
you're a good girl. That's what
I'm
you
gonna
do
everything that I'm supposed to do, and I'm gonna live the life that I think I should live. Like I'm, you know, like the case of the shoulds, and it's like I was living it. If I thought I should do it, I would do it, and you know. I just lived my life for other people. I lived my life to look like what I thought other people wanted me to look like and be who other people wanted me to be. And it's like, oh, what's your personality? I don't know. What's yours? Because that's mine.
Yeah. What do you want me to be? Like,
yeah. Who do you want me to be? Because I'm a chameleon and I'm going to be who you want me to be always. Like, and I think back, it just was such a long life. And I grew up in a household where everything was very exercise oriented. And so not surprisingly, I had an eating disorder from 6 to 19.
Yeah.
And when I was 19, I got injured because my body couldn't finally hit a wall. It was like, we are not recovering anymore. Like, this is over for us.
Yeah. You, like, you're done.
You cannot keep working out for 3 hours a day and putting strain on this body and then fuel it with Diet Coke. Like that. You
can't?
It's so weird how 8 months after I got injured, I ended up in inpatient treatment for anorexia. So that's kind of how it all started. But the reason I'm so open is because nobody wanted me to get that help, right? I was like, something is wrong with me. I'm going to get help. And everybody, my parents said, no, come home. You know, we can deal with this quietly. We can keep it to ourselves here at home. And I was like, something is wrong with me and I'm getting help. Like, I don't put my foot down. I don't do anything for myself. I was like, but I'm telling you, something is wrong. And yeah, and it really was like, I got this 100 mile an hour, like, intro to mental health, right? Because my first day is I have a therapist, I have a doctor, a nutritionist, a psychiatrist, I'm in group meetings, and I live with 30 other women with eating disorders. And it really was that. But it was the first time I ever did something for myself, truly. Like, and it was the first time I ever decided that I was right about me.
I love that because I think like what that is so, it's so fucking empowering, but it's such a moment to take this back to yourself to be like, no, I need to speak up. I need to find my boundaries. Yeah. I need to find my voice. And I can imagine that was scary when you stand up to people that you're like, all of my life, I have been either like shamed if I did this or gotten in trouble if I did this or told that there's something wrong with me. But at the end of the day, it's like, either I'm going to kill myself and yeah. then you guys are going to have to look and say, whoopsie, maybe she should help. And like, can I ask, what, when you experienced that and like went into this place and were doing that, was there ever a moment where you were like, it's time for me to go? Or did you feel like, no, this is right for me?
Oh, I mean, there's also the fact that I was 19. So it's like,
yeah, you're a baby.
You're like, as you know, as much as you know.
Right.
And it was also not great because it was this moment of me, like a really empowering moment where I was like, I now know what's right for me all the time, which is not true.
At 19, no, certainly not.
Yeah, and so it was kind of that, like, yeah, I was like, I'm armed and ready. I have, like, 3 tools now, and I'm going to take on the world, right?
So, and you're like, and that tool is breathing, yeah, okay? Literally. And
it's like, I eat now, and now I can do it all. And it's like, oh, honey.
Yeah.
So cute, but no.
Yeah, very nice try. And, like, one thing that I really love that you pointed out that I think a lot of people really should hear again, it's like, especially when we're talking about mental health, was I needed help that nobody wanted me to get because yeah. it's like, let's yeah. be honest, when like I was the black sheep, I was the first yeah. person out of my family. Like I have, my father was like, was raging narcissist and like very textbook. Like this isn't me using a buzzword. Right. This is like when you meet him, you're like, definition. Got it. This is where it all comes from. And like a people pleasing mother. So growing up, it was always taught like very much just like, nope, like you shut your mouth, you be a good girl.
Yeah.
Be, you know, don't you dare fucking talk to any about this. Don't you open. And my mom's like, who was I going to ever talk yeah. to? She's like, I was alone on an island. My brother was sent away. Like I keep saying like all those big crazy stories we're seeing about these programs. My brother went to one. So he was gone for 2 years, went to the wilderness program, went to the drug program. My sister had an eating disorder, like went through the whole gamut. And when I was the first one in my family to stand up and be like, hey, guys, I think the way that we were raised may not have been the healthiest. Like, that was the end of the fucking world. And it's like, I just think that we need to exemplify the strength that it takes to, especially at 19, to stand up and say, there's something fucking wrong. And no, I'm not coming home for us to solve this.
Right. I mean, at some point, you're like, well, thank God I'd had like, you know, 2 whole days under my belt when my parents like drove down at 1,000 miles an hour to Florida to like pull me out of rehab.
Of course.
And I was like, first of all, I have a disease. It's chronic, progressive, and deadly. The end of this story is I die. Like, that's the end of the story. I'm already pretty darn close. You know, you're like, I almost have osteoporosis. I mean, you know, there's all these things. And I wish I had thought of then, but it'd be like, we can't take care of this at your house. Like, can't you see that didn't work?
I was going to say, we're here because of that, actually. Yeah,
like, it didn't work. And while leaving the house, like, made it even worse. People are like, oh, didn't anybody in your life know you were sick, blah, blah, blah. And I came from a really fitness-oriented family where disordered eating is the norm. Not necessarily eating disorder, but disordered eating is definitely... It still counts. Like, if you're just eating over, orthorexia, you know, it's just like eating overly healthy, being overly conscious of everything you're doing and seeing. They're still like that, but I love them. So.
I can relate. Cause like I had my sister on and we were talking about like her eating disorder. And she was like, you know, this is something that like, I think a lot of people looked at it being like, no, I don't have one. And then they listened to the episode and they're like, oh fuck. Like, it's not that it doesn't have to be about that you have an eating disorder. But it's like, what's your relationship with food? Do you, you know, how do you view that? Like, because I know for sure, like, yeah, I would restrict and be like, yeah, I did it. You know, it's like, I got this. I'm in control. And then it's like, then you're fucking 3 sheets to the wind throwing up on the floor. And you're like, I don't got this.
I was such a food as a reward person. And so, you know, that's always my first thing when people... People will always ask for advice about eating. And I'm like, there's no, like, unfortunately, there's no Band-Aid for this. I don't know the answer. But it's just like, number one, food's not a reward. Yeah. Like, I was like, so cut that out of whatever you're doing and then, like, go from there. But I think of how, you know, we talk, like, mental health is big and scary. And the reason I'm so weird and open about everything I do now is because I saw what it did to keep it to myself. I saw what happened to my life. I saw the way that I went. And it's not like it ended. Right. You know, I just traded having an eating disorder for being a super weird workaholic. And that just ended a few years ago. So it's like this. But luckily, that background is the reason that I started talking about it online. Right. One, because I lost my job at the beginning of the pandemic because I'm an event planner.
Yep, you were fucked. Yeah.
And so I had free time and it was kind of this terrible realization that I was in as bad of a place as I was at 19, at 32. Just I ate food and I'm like, oh, no. You didn't fix anything else, right? Yeah. And so that's been this, you know, kind of since the pandemic started, this timeline of figuring out who I am and what I want to do with my life and doing it online. Mostly because why not?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Oh, 100%. At least, like, I can totally relate. Like, for me, I started all this because I was at rock bottom. Like, my dog had just died. Yeah. And I was like, I have nothing else. Like, I have a clothing company, software. And it's, you know, that I started years prior. And it's like, COVID was great. But then good luck surviving after COVID when you hit it really well. And it was very similar of like, wait a minute, staying quiet and like looking at all of these people that are telling me that what I'm doing, like, okay, you want to be healthy, you want to do this, just do this. And I'm like, okay, but there's something missing here. And that's called how. You know, like, how do I get there? So you're telling me to get to that mountain, but I'm naked and afraid over here and I've got no tools. So how are we going to bridge this gap?
Yeah.
And I think it's so fucking rad to be able to take your story and then turn that into something that where at least other people can look and be like, oh my God, I'm not alone.
Yeah. And the other thing about share, I was going to say something and I'm like, what was it? We'll just continue.
I do want to ask you though. Because I know that you have a husband.
Yeah.
You're married. Tell me a little bit of a story, because I know that you guys have an interesting, like, you guys were long distance for a good portion of this situation. Like, can you paint me a picture of, like, how you guys met? And, yeah, like, what was that journey like? Because so many people that write in about long distance, and I'm like, I'm not your girl.
Yeah. We did meet the old-fashioned way. At a party, of course.
I was so waiting for you to be like a dating app, because that's how I met my partner.
No, unfortunately, those didn't exist yet.
You guys have been together for a while.
Yeah, a long time. Since I was 23.
You were a
36,
baby.
Yeah. So 36 this week.
Congratulations. Happy birthday.
And
so you met him like shortly after your recovery stuff, like all of that.
Yep. Okay. And I was very active in therapy at the time when we met, and he was really supportive of that, which was great. It was also bad timing because I was in a really good place, and I was finally single, and I was like, I'm going to focus on me, and like, I got to just like live my life for myself, which actually comes into play later. But he moved in like 2 weeks later. It's like, I don't feel like I hear of a lot of, like, I feel like I would hear more of that from, like, our parents' generation.
Yeah.
But no, it was just, like, I was so bummed when he walked in. And I looked at him and I was like, that's him. Dang it. You know? And you're just like, oh. Recently someone had asked me, like, do you believe in, like, guardian angels or, like, anything? I'm like, no. But I definitely believe that things sort of, like, can just happen. Like, I saw him and hardly knew him and was like, I have to marry that guy. I don't know why.
Luckily this worked out, because otherwise, then if we were looking back and you were like, I should have been institutionalized if I thought that. So like, yay.
But I also don't love. But I like, I'm also not a person who believes in like a failure. Like even if it hadn't worked out, somebody asked me the other day, how do you go through this healing journey with a husband? And I said, yeah, that's a really good question. And I said, the reality is that like, it didn't have to go the way it went. It could have gone anyway. We could have grown apart. But we just like happened to grow at a similar pace in the same direction, which like doesn't have to happen. This is very, I was still not quite living for myself at the moment. I was trying. But then probably 5 or 6 years in, he was like, I'm so miserable at my job. Like, and I could never have done this for myself, right?
Yeah.
I was like, no, you still have to work all the time. You can't take a break. But I was like, quit your job.
No, you do that. Me, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I was like, quit your job. You're miserable. And I was like, this is like a little, I like to stay delusional, okay? People are always like, how do you just like stay positive? And I'm like, I'm fully delusional.
At least you own it.
How I like keep, I am like unfounded believe in the best in everybody for no reason, right? I have no reason to feel this way. But I was like, quit your job. And so he was home and my uncle in New Jersey had said like, oh, I have a couple of weeks of work. Do you want to come out and help? And then it just kind of lasted 4 years.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And so...
You're married at this point or not married yet?
Married, yeah.
Oh, okay. So you guys had a relationship together and then... Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's not like you were long distance the whole fucking time.
No.
But talk to me of like a long distance, like how the fuck did you guys manage that?
First of all, I really like it.
I don't blame you.
It definitely gave me this huge opportunity to kind of, for the first time in my life, be really selfish with my personal time.
Yeah.
And really, I think you have to think of it that way. If your relationship, if it's codependent, like then long distance is going to be impossible. But like for me, I have a whole life by myself and he has a whole life by himself. And when we hang out, it's fun and it's bonus time. But the long distance part, well, it was like a little bit hard in the beginning, but just not for any reason other than I was picking fights because I just was, right? You're just like, don't leave or whatever. I don't know.
It's a little bid for connection even. It was like, but I love you.
But eventually I really fell in love with having all that time to myself. And it was that like, it was so nice when he came home because he was a bonus versus I always like to say like, if it worked because we were two full people with our own lives.
Yeah.
And we just, it was kind of like takes you back to dating the first time around. I don't know. It just felt magical. Yeah. It made the together times more special, which I think is a huge boost when it always feels like special when you are together.
What I love is you said something. My mom has been saying this to me since I was a fucking kid. You got to love yourself. No, not that one, but that is. You got to love yourself more than the need to be loved by others, which I'm like, yes. Stop seeking everyone's fucking validation before you give it to yourself. But somebody, she was always been saying to me, they're an addition to your life, they're not instead of.
Right. And it's like, not 50-50.
Exactly.
It's 100-100.
Like, you each have a life. You each have your own stuff. Like, I'm the same. Like, I get excited. So my partner, we call him tech guy, but like his name is fucking Ryan. Like, we're just going to give him his name back because when we first started dating, he was like, please don't talk about me. So that's where we got this nickname. And here we are. When like we were supposed to go away and I like to go to a friend's wedding at the end of in the next couple of months. And I got an unexpected shoot. And I was like, and I remember just going down and I was like, oh, rats. I can't go. And he was all bummed. And I was like, God, I'm so excited. And I was already planning. I'm like, fuck yeah. All right. I'm going to have like my alone time. Yeah. I'm going to like catch up on work. I'm going to catch up on my trash shows. I'm going to call my mom. I'm going to like go for my walks because it's true. It's like, not to say that a relationship, like, no, please. It's not that you shouldn't be in one, but it's so fucking important to balance.
Yeah. And it was like, obviously it's a different situation because we were together before. And then it was like this great opportunity to get to know myself better. Right. But I think in any long distance relationship, you just have to look at like all of the positives of that versus he's not here. What is he doing?
Can I ask you, how did you guys like that? And I think this is the biggest difference here. You guys had an established relationship before. So anybody that's listening, that's like, we met on Hinge and we haven't met. I'm going to do what she did. It's like, no. Maybe get to know this person, like spend some time. But how did you guys with the communication, like what did that look like? Because I think that's such a point of contention for a lot of people when you're in a long distance relationship. It's, well, why aren't we texting every day? We need to be talking all the time. And I'm like, yikes.
I think our apart communication was very the same every day. You know, like, good morning.
Yeah.
In the morning, how's your day? In the middle of the day, what did you have for dinner? And good night. Like, just like every day having like the same time of day. But I always really liked it. Like, I would know it was coming. Like, it was just like knowing that, like, and the text messages feel special. I don't,
you know,
even
have
though
that
we're
person.
Married, right? It's just like, he doesn't text me when we're home.
Right. You're like, now.
Like, yeah, like, how's your morning? And so it's just, we didn't really like communicate a ton. This is bad advice.
No. Here's the reality. I think because like, but you had phone calls and FaceTimes, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But because it's like, I think the actually good moral of the story is that like, you didn't rely to keep your communicate. You didn't rely on keeping
Not
your connection
all.
Alive
yeah.
by texting each other because you weren't together.
The hardest part about being in a long distance relationship is the way other people treat you about it, not the way you feel about it.
I love that, actually.
It's 1,000%. I would go to dinner with my grandpa every time, that judgy eye roll, and he's not here. And you're like, no.
No, he's making his money.
I'm like, I have a life. Like, this is my life. Do you need him here? Like, is that? But it's like every room I walk in, everywhere you go, where's Andy? And I'm like, where do you think Andy is? Where has Andy been for the last several years?
Like, same place, same time. Thank you so much. I think it's a true testament to one, your connection that you guys have, because I think like, if you can be like, I have a friend, same, like she and her husband, they met, they lived in the same city and then she got a job and she was like, not only did he help, but not only was he supportive, she's like, he'll be back. And she's like, then I went, she like moved to the Bahamas, worked. And she was like, and then they kept dating. And she was like, we looked at it as we just had places in different cities. She was like, we didn't look at it as I'm going to his house, he's coming to mine. She's like, I had an apartment in the Bahamas. Then I moved to Florida. I had an apartment in Florida. He lived in New York. And they were just able to like still find a way to be connected without it relying on, well, now we have to text and FaceTime all the time. Because like, I don't know about you, for me, yes, when I was super unhealthy and anxious all the time, feeling like someone was going to abandon me, oh God, I lived and died by that fucking tablet. But once you really start to understand who the fuck you are and you start to realize like your shit and love your life, you rely less on that and you really focus and get excited on actually seeing that person.
Yeah. If you're like really confident in what you're, I mean, I'm not confident in literally anything, but like I'm confident in that, like in that relationship, whatever. And if I wasn't, like, I'm also, I feel like it's important to know, one, your relationship doesn't have to look like anything. Doesn't have to look like anything. Yeah. Doesn't have to look like a relationship you've seen before. Like, make your own shit up. It's all made up, right? Like,
yeah,
it's all. Everything is made up. Like, it just doesn't have to look the way you think it's going to look. And I don't know why I think I have seen so many of my friends do things different.
Yeah.
And I think in 2024, that's just kind of how it's going to, like, everything is going to look a little, like, you're not just going to meet them, like, at the bar, and then you're going to get, like, that's going to be one in every bazillion, like.
It's the same thing, like, I hooked up with my partner on our first date, and it's like, I get that, that's not for everybody.
One life stand.
Exactly, one life stand. And it's like, and I always laugh, I'm like, we are the epitome of a normal couple in 2024, like, we met on a dating app, we hooked up on the first date, I left saying I'm never going to see this guy again. But I think that was really a pinnacle, at least for me too, was being like, okay, so everyone on, all these people shaming on the internet, you are not a high value woman if you do a coffee date. And I'm like, I don't know, coffee dates always worked for me. I fuck with a coffee date. And it's like, I think that is such a good point of like what the internet is saying. And like, even me, like anybody that'll come to me and for advice, I'm like, hey, you like to do that. That's you. If you enjoy, you want to be emotional, like ethically non-monogamous, go and live your fucking life. Make sure you communicate with each other. Is that something I'm going to do? Fuck no. Absolutely not. But that is a you thing. And it's like, I think what we need to get away from, like somebody asked me today, I was live and they were like, should relationships and love be easy? And I was like, who the fuck has lied to you telling you that it is? Because those are the people that are giving you an Instagram caption that's like, my love is this and we do this and we do this. And it's like, who taught you how to do all that? Because I don't know about you, but like, I was never taught how to be in a healthy, secure relationship. I never saw that ever in my life. So until I got into it being like, oh, I'm allowed to tell you how I feel and you're not going to yell at me or shut down or leave me? Tell me more. Like, that's weird. And I think that part of this whole messy, weird thing is like getting comfortable in the discomfort.
Yeah. I mean, like when you said communication, it is really important. That's the other thing that we're very, very good at and always have been, and maybe where I wouldn't even think of it to answer a question because it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
It's like, if you want it, you have to ask for it. If you need it, you're going to have to, like, nobody's a mind reader. No. Nobody can, you know, but even in like the big conversations, I just want to make sure that line of communication's always open, like for everything. And even for me, like being in a 13-year relationship and planning to be together forever, like that's the plan. But I mean, I will tell him, like, if it's not, like, if it's not me, like, anymore at some point, like, just leave me.
Just tell me.
Yeah, like, please don't make it weird.
Take me out
back.
Don't
ruin my life. Like. Yeah, and yeah, just, like, or even, you know, right now he's on tour with me. And I said, when you're done with this, just say it. Yeah. Because when it's done, and that's fine. I just, like, you're going to have to tell me. Like,
100%.
That I need this. And even little things, like, if you're afraid to ask for something or you're afraid to say something, it's like, figure that out.
That to me, anytime I get like, I get that all the time of like, how do I do this without coming off like this? And I'm like, well, that's the problem. You're so focused on how the other person's going to perceive you that you've never stopped to be like, but what do I need? Because like, I had shared a story about my partner, like he was going through some stuff and he was just acting like he's a little bit more avoidant. Like he goes more inward, you know, like he's the type like, hello, we met me. I'm like very communicative. And I'm like, talk to me. How do you feel? What's going on? And he's, if you ask him, hey, are you okay? He'll answer you. But you can see the frustration and you're like, okay, you don't know how to communicate. That's fine. And we went away and he was just being a dick. You know what I mean? Like just to those moods where, you know, we've all had that person where there's a day where you're like, yo, what is your fucking deal? Like, why are you snapping at me? And it's like, sure. Could I have just gone with my day of like, I'm just going to not say anything. Yeah. And if you don't communicate with me. And it's like, no. Instead, what I did is I sat him down and I was like, what the fuck is happening? And I was like, talk to me. Like, I'm your partner. I am here for you. And then he broke down. He cried. We talked. We had a great day. And then we ended up turning the whole day. And what was crazy was I shared that story online with somebody of like, just because you're dating someone that may have never been taught how to communicate doesn't mean that they're not going to. And I got it like, and it's okay to like, you know, talk to a partner that like maybe all, like my sister who's more avoidant who doesn't know how to. And then when you show them, oh, it's safe. Okay. And what shooketh me was somebody commented saying, I don't need to teach someone or tell someone how to communicate with me and let them know that they need to communicate
with
me.
Then, It's going to be a long life.
And so I said, I was like, so you just expect that everybody's going to know how you feel. Everyone's going to know what you want. So people are going to know how you specifically want them to communicate with you. But yet you've never asked, you've never told somebody, hey, I don't like when you say things like that to me. That hurts my feelings.
I'm like gotten very good at asking for what I need, but sometimes I'm a few days late, you know, like I've needed it for 3 days and finally I'm like, I really need you to say this to me like right now. But I was also, my mom also, like, relationships wise is a relationship that I'm constantly working on. And this was last week or it was the week my book came out and she didn't call or text. And I was so upset, right? And so for like days, I stewed on it. And finally, I was like, Anna, just pick up the phone and call her.
Yeah.
I picked up the phone and I was like, I just really need you to tell me you're proud of me. And she goes, do you not know I'm proud of you? And I was like, no,
That's why
I just called you to say, can you please tell me you're proud of me? And it's like, it's that way. Oh, I remembered what I was going to say before. Being wrong. Like, you have to be okay with being wrong.
Yeah.
If you're not okay with being wrong, like, I don't think anything is going to work out for in your life.
I was going to say, do you think, like, because you've been with your partner for 13 fucking years. Mm-hmm. So, like, what would you say are the top things that you have learned? Obviously, like, being wrong in communication, but, like, what are the top things that you've learned to succeed in a relationship long term with somebody for that? Because you're evolving, you're changing, you're growing. Yeah. Is there anything that you've learned along this way that you're like, yo, this is what I didn't know before that I know now?
Well, the one thing I just mean, like, we have just gotten lucky that we grew in the same direction. Like, I don't expect that everybody on earth is going to be in a relationship for 13 years and they're going to manage to stay like in the same two track. Like, it's just, I don't think it's that realistic. So a lot of that, I think for me, just feels really lucky. Also that we just really like each other. It's silly. But I think being like knowing when you're wrong or agreeing with things you don't like to hear, like, the other day he goes, you're really cranky, and I go, I'm not cranky.
And then, like, I see your point.
And then like 3 minutes later I was like, you're right, I'm in a really bad mood.
It takes so much strength.
I am in such a bad mood, and that's hard to like admit that, like, I really did take that out on you, and I just need to like step back into my space and be like, oh shit, I did that. Like, that was me.
It is like a fucking superpower to be able, and like, that is, yeah, let's exemplify that. Like, if you're in a relationship, being able to say, I'm sorry if I hurt you, or like, tell me more. Like, I had the same thing. I snapped it at Ryan, and I like came down after, and he was like, I feel like you take out your frustration on me. And like, as I'm about to be like, what are you talking about? I stopped and I was like, can I ask you where is this coming from? And he gave me like three examples in that day. And I was like, you know what? I got to hang my hat. And I was like, you're right. I was like, I'm sorry. I'm having a really shitty day. I was like, that wasn't appropriate of me. And I was like, you said something that really, I was like, now, can we talk about it? I was like, and we were able to segment. I was like, okay, but what you did say was fucked up. And he was like, okay. And it's like, it's just being able to both be like, okay, I'll own that. You're right. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah.
But I think it's so big to be able to, but there's a pendulum that swings. It's like, you have to know when to say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But then you also have to know when it's like, but I can't own all of this.
Oh God. Yeah. And that's what in ours relationship is really prevalent. Like, Andy lives very much in the real world and I live very much in a unicorn cloud, right? Like,
sign me up. How the fuck do I get to that one?
Is just like, I just let go of a lot of stuff. And that's kind of, I mean, that's been my journey, but like, I think that helps me in relationships too. Just let go of most of my life.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, like, when you started all this, did you have like an imposter syndrome? Because like, I know for me,
I have imposter syndrome every minute of every day.
Perfect.
Every day of the week.
Awesome.
I always think that I shouldn't be in the space I'm in, almost no matter what, to a fault.
Now, how have you pushed through that?
I just keep doing it.
You're like, I'm here.
I just keep doing it. I think, you know, it's like the shows where in the beginning I say, like, I hope you didn't come here expecting like some polished like song and dance, because unfortunately that's not who I am.
Yeah.
But like, I just keep doing it. You have to do it. And people always ask me too, like, what's your advice for growing on social media? And I say, post.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm like, no, my advice is post.
It's like, be a bit tasteful, but to put yourself out there.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't have any other advice except for you have to do it. And even once I started doing it, I regretted all of the time I wasn't posting. I was like, what a waste of my life. The last 8 months were when I was like thinking about it. No, I can't do it. And then I did it. And I was like, oh, well, this is the best time I've ever had in my whole life.
Yeah.
I mean, and also the worst, but.
But it's six of them. Yeah. Once you get on the internet, you're like, it's so lovely until it's not. Yeah. Trust me. I do understand that.
The internet.
But I know, I think it's important. It's like, I'm with you. I talk about this all the time. I'm like, I get anxious before every podcast. I get anxious before every time I have to do something. Even when I record a video, sometimes I'll say the same sentence like six times. And I'm like, you know, I will find myself going back into the like, stupid, gotcha, Jesus, Sabrina. And I have to stop. And I'm like, okay. If my five-year-old me was here, do I need to talk to her like my dad used to talk to me? No. Instead, I can say, okay, sure, you're a little anxious, but I trust, and we've been there, because it's like, yeah, what's neuroplasticity. Your brain for however many years was like, hey, you can't do this. So of course your brain, your body is like, nah, the bitch can't do this. Like, she's out. But then how you actually be able to push through that, whether it's dating, whether it's personal, professional, doesn't really matter, is by doing it, by saying, I might fuck up, but I know that I'll have my back.
Yeah, unfortunately, you have to do it.
Nike was right. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like they meant what they said, but it's true. I mean, people will say like, oh, you're so lucky, like blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm not, maybe, yes, in a lot of ways, I believe that too. But a lot of that is because I'm putting myself out there. I'm doing things that I don't think I have any business doing. I'm doing things that I do not have the confidence to do. I'm doing things that I don't believe that I have the skills to do, but I'm doing them anyways, and I'm doing it terrified. And it's like, well, I don't know if this is the answer, because I love comfort zones. I really do.
Yeah.
I'm
like, it's cozy.
But you have to do it. If you want something to change, you have to do something.
Nothing changes if nothing changes. And it's like, even like, you had done a video and I was watching it where you were even talking about like, yeah, so like, it's okay to be exhausted. It's okay mm-hmm. to take a moment and acknowledge like, okay, like even when people will come to dating of like, how do I keep pushing on? And I'm so defeated. And I'm like, well, maybe you shouldn't. Like, maybe that's the answer is, well, where are we taught that even when you're at zero to keep going? Like, I'll never forget when I moved to New York, my brother told me, and like, not great advice when in hindsight, love, you know, love him thing. But he was like, if you're in New York City and you even have a minute to yourself, you're doing it wrong. And he was like, you should always be bitten. It's like that hustle culture.
Oh my gosh.
So I lived that for my entire, for 12 years of living in New York. My nervous system shot to shit.
Yeah.
Constant go, 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 go. And being like, oh no, well, you have to go on a date. But Sabrina, you haven't gone on a date this week. And like pushing myself to the point where it's like, you know what is actually
you're
okay?
You're like, hey, you're going to be so burnt out for so long.
It took me like 2 years of moving to California to be like, I just need to, like, there are days even now where on the weekends, I literally will put my phone down and I'm like, none of you exist. I need to sit on that couch for 4 hours and not move. Because if my body doesn't take a fucking second to just acknowledge I'm pooped, I'm exhausted.
I don't know. I believe in lots of weird things, but 2 years ago today, I posted a TikTok and it popped up in my memories. It's the only reason I know this.
Love
and
that.
I go, the weekend is upon us. And I just wanted to let you know that if you find yourself with a free moment, you don't have to fill it with anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 2 years ago, you know, but my content like that, like, is what I'm learning that day.
Yeah.
I'm talking about it that minute. So it's usually like, this is. And people are like, how do you come up with it? And I'm like, it's whatever I'm going through that second.
Yeah.
Like, I was in my car, so I probably just got home from work. And I was like thinking of all the things I could do because I had a day off. And it was like, oh, you know that you shouldn't.
You don't need to do that.
You don't need to do that.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, like, breathe a second. Like, it just doesn't have to be that way. But I mean, I was raised that way. Like, you know, that what idle hands are the devil's playthings or whatever. You know, it's like you should always be doing something. Like,
it's that toxic productivity.
I'm so tired.
That's how I felt. Oh, boy, do I get that. That's how I felt like when I lived in LA, where it was just this like toxic positivity and productivity and like of just you always have to be doing and you always have to be. And like, I remember even just going for a walk and like feeling guilty that I wasn't working. And it wasn't until like recently, to be honest, because I'm with you, like it was, I have not, the reason I got to where I'm going is because like I didn't stop. Like I was posting 5 videos a day consistently for a fucking year. So you can imagine, like the bitch can talk, but like you can imagine it was the same thing. I'd be sitting somewhere and be like, oh, video idea. And I would do it. And it's like, even now my partner, like he'll see me, like I'll get people like write in and to me a question and I'll answer it. And the minute I get one, I'm like, oh, and then he'll look at me and I'm like,
And then you've set your little boundary. I love it. I've been watching it. Every time you post on your little story, you're like, I'm not doing that. And I'm like, yeah.
I'm not doing it. Because it's so important, whether you're personal, professional, doesn't matter, but especially dating. If you're listening right now and you're like, I'm a dater, having boundaries is so fucking sexy. Because what it tells me is, oh, I can't take advantage of you. I love that. You know who you are.
Yeah. Oof. Boundaries in your online personal space, you seem to be good at them. I'm not good at them.
You know why? Where I learned it is like what we were talking about, because it didn't work for me. I was doing it for so long and answering people. You know, when you get to the level that you and I are at with the amount of followers, I'm not being a fucking asshole and being arrogant. It's just you get hundreds of DMs a day of, I need your advice. I need your advice. And after a while, I'm burned out holding space and going, but I'm not getting compensated for my time. That's a boundary that I had to set. Same when I was dating. When I was dating, I'd be like, hey, cool. I can meet you for an hour.
Yeah.
I don't have the time right now to spend with someone. I don't know who the fuck you are. I don't even know if I'm going to see you again. And here's the odds on chance. I was 32 and a half when I met my partner. So I had 15 years of my adult life of dates that didn't really pan out into anything. Yeah. And you start to learn boundaries don't keep people out. They protect what's in. And I knew I could only continue to show up authentically as myself if I make sure that I do contain what it is that I'm showing up as.
Yeah. What did I do say the other day to somebody? And it was so funny. They asked me if I could do something or come to their restaurant. I don't know. And I said, no, like, I just can't. And they replied and they go, I love your boundaries. And I was like, if the whole world was that way, wouldn't it be nice? Like, if you're like sweating over saying no to somebody and you do it and they're like, perfect, take care of you. And you're like, what?
I had a therapist on the podcast and we were talking about people pleasing and like always saying yes. And, you know, and he made such a great point. He was like, what I want you to look at when you're going to say no is this going to be hurtful or harmful? Yeah. And he was like, if it's hurtful, hey, I'm going to hurt your feelings. I can live with that. I can live with saying, I'm sorry, I can't come in because of this. That's a different story than your daughter's recital that you miss because you're like, well, mommy needed a self-care day. It's like, that's harmful.
That's different.
That's different. That's like I had my client and he was like, he was like, you know what? I kept saying, I was like, do you like this girl? You'd been on like three dates with her. And he was like, you know what? Honestly, no. And he was like, they hooked up and he was like, she's an awesome girl. He was like, I don't see a future here. And I said, are you going to tell her? And he's like, I don't want to hurt her feelings. And I was like, okay, so then what are you going to do? He's like, I'll just wait a few days. And I looked at him and I said, but that's harmful. I said, hurtful in this moment would be telling her, hey, sorry, I'm not feeling it. It's only been three days.
You're going to wait to tell someone that now, you're not interested?
Now you're going to wait. And then this poor girl, and he was like, fuck, you're right. And
that's
so he
what
like,
I mean, even with Andy, I'm like, if you're done, like, if you fall out of love with me, please tell me immediately.
Alert the fucking media.
Because I did not have it in me to be strung along and fucked around on and whatever. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But if, and like at the end of the day though, I think especially when you're dating, like I've been ghosted. Like I know it sucks. It sucks to have somebody that wasn't honest with you, that wasn't telling you what they feel, that wasn't being upfront. But at the end of the day, what I learned was I was like, that's on them. Like you showed up saying, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that because you respect yourself and you respect your boundaries and you knew that that wasn't going to work for you and you communicated that.
Yeah.
That shows me about who the person is versus if it's just, well, I'm just not going to answer them because like I'm busy and I don't owe them anything. And it's like, okay, listen, if you've had a date, like I always say, I'm like, if you had a first date and the person doesn't call you after, it's like, you know, that's not owed to you. You know, no, after one or two dates, if you didn't hook up or do anything, like that person doesn't owe you a response. Cause sometimes it's just better to be like,
we tried.
Exactly. We tried. Listen, I went on a date or two with you. It didn't work out. Wish you even if somebody doesn't want to text you, like, especially when you've dated in major cities and you have five or six dates a week, after a while, it gets really exhausting. I know. But like, it was exhausting.
I would just not, right? Like, I have Andy and he's great and I'm going to keep him. But like, if that ends for some reason, like, I think I'm done.
And you're like, K the fuck.
I'm like, I heard too many. I've heard too much.
Oh, I go to Ryan all the time and I'm like, yeah, we're not breaking up. I love you and I'm glad I do. But like, it's, but even if it were thrown back in, it's like, I think at the end of the day, when you have a life that you love and you've built a life for you, it doesn't impact as severely.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because when your walls are down and someone throws an arrow, it's going to go right to the heart. But when it's not the figurative walls, not literal fit, you know, you don't have to fucking build a fortress around you. But when you protect your peace and you know who the fuck you are, it's not going to impact you as much when some schmo tells you something. You're like, well, I don't believe that.
This kind of goes back to like, not to say like, imagine your relationship if it was long distance, like what's missing from your day to day. And for me, it's just Andy.
I like that though.
It's not like, my day is fine.
Exactly. But I like, and I like the framing about that because it's like, so all that's missing is the physical body being here. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, but I still have my friends. I've got my family.
Yeah.
And I think that's like when I have people write in of like all of this, like all these terrible things that someone says to them, like, what do I do? And I'm like, what you do is you move on with you.
Not worth it.
When you're, listen, I get it. When you're a 6-year-old and when we regress and it's like at 6, you're right. You have nowhere to go. Like your parents fuck you. Yeah. Your parents leave you in a room. You're in that room.
And that's...
But when you're an adult and you're like, oh, you mean I get to take myself out of that room? It's like, you get to go live the life that you want to live and you get to choose who the fuck is part of it.
Yeah. And there's like, the reality is that like, people just aren't going to like you. And that was a really hard one for me, especially like as a people pleaser to come to terms with, like, people just aren't going to like you. But the second that I came to terms with that and the second that like, I really believed that, the way... the lightness in my life, because I think that way the other way as well. Like, I don't worry about what other people are doing. I think about how much of my time and energy I used to spend, like, being annoyed about what someone else was doing. And it's like, not my business. Like, I think of how much of my brain space I was spending. And I think of it this way, too. Like, it's different because, you know, these people have podcasts about TV shows. But the amount of time you're spending talking about other people's lives or thinking about other people's lives, I'm like, not to sound selfish, but I hardly think of other people.
But you know what? But that is, I'm glad you said that because for fuck's sake, I wish people listened when I say, I'm like, people aren't thinking about you. You're the main center. I'm the main character of my movie. I'm a fucking extra on everybody else's. Some people don't even see me walk across the fucking backdrop of their set.
Yeah.
That's how insignificant. And it's so true because I think especially like, I always bring it back to dating because especially in that time, I have had it where like, I think that this person's thinking all of these things. And then you find out you're like, that person didn't even fucking think about you once.
They
didn't. Like they just didn't. Or like that one embarrassing thing that you said, it's like that person probably didn't even fucking hear it. But we magnify everything because we're egocentric. Like I get that. It's all about us. It's all about us. And it's like, every person has narcissism. We all have an element of, I think of me. That's just being, that's literally just psychology. But it's a matter of like, well, how far do we take that?
Yeah.
But I think it's so true. Like if you have a life that you are building right now, if you have a life that you're excited about, even just excited about going on your walks every morning, like I had to, even when I lived in LA and I was not excited about much living there, I found little things every day just so that I could look and be like, okay, well, I've been single for the last year living here, right? Okay. So I have this new person here, the fantasy of what this could be. But it's not, right? We're here where we are right now. And so instead, I was like, I'm going to water this little pot of land because the more I focus on you and the more I ask, why is he doing this? Why is she acting this way? Guess what I'm doing? I'm not focused on me.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, yeah. I there's a little thing I said, I don't know, a long time ago. And I it was like, were you happy? And I said, I don't know, but look how productive I was. Right?
So true.
It's like such a hard truth to like look back on your whole life and be like, well, I was busy.
That's like, and it's so funny. I thought about this yesterday. I was just
I don't know
something.
Why that reminded me of that, but it
no, but it's true.
But it did.
I was thinking about that yesterday because like it's so true. Like I think we notice, like I know that like when my dog passed away, when my mom got sick, like those are the moments that slap you in the face that you're like, oh my God, we have finite resources here. Like that is not forever. And I thought about it the other day of like, think about, you know, you think about when people are like, oh, I wouldn't trade it for the world, right? You think about back on the time of like, oh, I wouldn't, you know, that experience, I wouldn't trade it for the world. And I thought back, I would totally trade a lot. And I was thinking about being where I'm at as a woman in her 30s, not having kids, not, you know, and not sure not sure that I want to be honest. And I thought about it. Okay. If I had had kids at 20, I wouldn't be where I'm at. It's like, you know, of course I'd have a 13-year-old child right now. My life would be completely different. And I was like, okay, I'm grateful. Grateful I didn't necessarily know, because it was that somebody was telling me that their mom is like close in age to them. And I was like, man, what would that feel like if you know, your mom had you at 18 or 19? Yeah. Like my mom and me at 35. So like my mom is now in her almost 70. Yeah. And it's like, fuck, you know? And so I think about that of like, you know, Ryan and I talk about this. I'm like, I don't want to be 45 having a kid. Like, and that's just a personal thing. Like, I don't want to do that. I don't want them bad enough. But then I had that thought of, well, but what did I do with my 20s instead? See, I didn't have kids. And I literally for the first time made the admission where I was like, I wouldn't have traded that for the world because I wasted my fucking 20s. I wasted my 20s worried about if this guy was going to call me, worried about if somebody liked me, worried about, I wasted away. I didn't save any fucking money. I didn't advance my career. I lived in New York going paycheck to paycheck because all I was waiting for was someone to come fucking save me. And it wasn't until I actually had to own up to myself and be like, this is the bitch that's coming to save you. Nobody else is. That then I realized now I refuse to look back on my 30s like I did my 20s. I will not allow myself to look back on that time and say, I fucking wasted it worrying about everybody else. And I was so far removed from myself.
It's like, so life is so long and you're all you get. Nothing else. Like not one other thing in your life is guaranteed.
Nope.
The only person who has to be with you is you. And like,
it's the longest relationship.
Yeah. And when I think about how long I stayed like in a job where my boss was just awful, right? And I stayed just to prove nothing to nobody, right? Like, no. I can do it. I'm tough. And it's like,
no, you're fucking miserable.
Yeah. But like now I look at my life as I'm the boss of it. And it's just like, how do you want to treat yourself? How do you want to organize your day-to-day life? Like, how do you want to build yourself up to be more successful or not? Like, I say that too. Sometimes you're looking the wrong direction. Sometimes we're so conditioned to look up and forward, and every once in a while, that's the wrong direction, right? Like, and even for me right now with tour and all of these other things, like, I'm taking a huge step back at work.
Yeah.
And that's something that didn't feel possible to me because you live your whole life moving forward.
Right.
And it's like, you can move forward by moving backward. You can move forward by walking away. And, you know, even lots of times now I have to tell myself, like, baby steps are steps and backward steps are steps. Like, you're moving.
It's like, at least you're doing something. Because, like, I'm the same. Like, there are days where, like, I had to lessen my workload in the last 3 months because I'm working on a course and I'm working on a book and all of that stuff. And I remember even just, like, the panic ensued. And then my friend actually said something to me that fucking, her name is Elise. She's such a great dating coach. And we were talking the other day and she was like, Sabrina, you're acting as if the buffet closed. And she was like, you got to shift that thinking. You're at the buffet and there's always going to be newness. You're always going to have more. She's like, the plate of food that you have in front of you isn't it. And that allowed me to start being like, oh my God, you're right. I can take a day where I focus on other things, take a step back, if you will, but that'll help me propel 30 forward.
Yeah.
Because I know that I'm doing something now that's going to help for the long run.
Yeah.
And I think just being able to get rid of the shame and guilt around that.
Oh my gosh. Guilt is so heavy. And it just like never goes away.
It doesn't stop. And like, I think like the reason I was so excited to have you on was because I really do want to normalize the experience of mental health. Like, I'm just so tired of it being this package that none of us are able to afford because it's not realistic. And what is realistic is that it's going to be a journey of like falling a ton, scraping your knees and getting back up to being like, but the bitch still has another day in her. So we're going to keep going.
All you have to be is here. And that can be like a battle.
Yeah.
Being here every day, I like to remind people like, it's not going to look the same for everybody. Like when they're like, well, I'm really like, I'm lazy and I'm not accomplishing anything. And I'm like, can you tell me like what's going on inside your brain? Like,
right.
And then tell me you're not accomplishing anything. How exhausted, like how many scenarios have you run through today?
It's a lot of thoughts.
How many thoughts? Like, yeah, brains are tough. They're quick moving and they lie and they're mean and they know you
And they're not. And the biggest thing that I learned is like, they're not meant for the world that we're living in either. Our bodies and our nervous system and our brain are meant for hunters and gatherers living in groups of no more than 50 without technology, without everything. What we've done is we've just taken our bodies from like 1700 that were doing great. And we threw them in now and we're like, fucker, why aren't you figuring this out?
And not like, I always say, like, we were not meant to know this much, but it's like, but now we can know this much, and now you're required to know this much, and people are going to yell at you if you don't know it and talk about it constantly. And you're like, listen, I'm a mental health content creator. Like, I can unfortunately not save the world.
I don't need to talk about geopolitics right now when I'm talking about relationships, and that doesn't need to be
my
place.
I'm just trying to focus on you staying alive.
Exactly. I'm just trying to get through the fucking day.
I am focused on the basics here, okay? Like, we need to live our lives alive.
You know what? Honestly, and like, I remember that was one thing that my therapist taught, like, really reminded me. Every time I'd come into my session, this was like one of the first therapists I ever had. And she'd be like, how are you doing today? And I'd be like, I'm okay. And she would stop me and she'd be like, and we'll take that for today, because for today, that's great. And she was like, you're okay. I'll take an okay.
Yeah.
And it helped me reframe where I was like, because I remember, you know, when people ask you like, hey, how are you? And you're like, good, thanks. And I tried it for a little bit where I was honest, where I'd be like, I'm really fucking stressed actually. And you see people's an auto, oh, good. What?
Yeah.
Like they couldn't comprehend with like being like, yeah. And like, that's okay. Yeah. I can normalize that for today. I feel like shit. And then tomorrow, I'll probably be fine.
Yeah, the world's really heavy. Like, it's okay to not have a good day.
It is so okay to not have a good day. And I think that is, it's okay to not have a good day. It's okay to not have a good week. It's okay to not have a good month. And it's okay to not have a good year.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you don't have a good life. That just means that for now.
It's not forever.
It's not forever.
It's a bad day. It's a bad, you know, it's not a bad forever. Oh, it's hard to think about sometimes when you're trapped in it. But it's like that, like, take a step back. Like, look at it. What's wrong? Nothing? Okay.
Yeah. I always do. I'm like, speed bump. Just like, for fuck's sake, put a space between what you are now to fucked. Like, it doesn't have to, the pendulum doesn't have to swing to this equals, like, the person that didn't call you back after a date doesn't now mean that you're a piece of shit and that there's something wrong with you. What that just meant was that's not a person you're gonna have another date with. We don't need to create this narrative. We don't have to create a whole thing. It could just be, I see this for what it is right now, not for something that I want it to be.
The other thing that's like, that can really bum you out or whatever is you overthink. I don't want to say you. That's
the proverbial you, but yeah.
Yes. I will overthink not being happy, right?
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing wrong? Like, what? And it's like, happy's not like, doesn't live somewhere. It's not a finish line. It's not like a destination. It's not always. It's little moments. Like, I have to remind myself all the time, like, hey, happy isn't living somewhere. Happy isn't when you lose those 20 pounds. Happy isn't when you get that promotion. And happy isn't, like, happy, like, maybe those moments will bring you a little bit of joy. I don't know. But the reality is, like, that we all have this finish line complex of, like, when I get there, that's where it is. And it's, like,
it's elusive. I learned that when I had my clothing company over COVID. I remember I was, like, telling my mom, and I was like, no, when we get to, like, when we get to this level every day, then I'll be happy. And I remember the sales started to get to that level, the number I had set. And I remember, like, getting it earlier in the day. You know, it's like earlier, and just sitting there and my mom being like, oh my God, Sab, aren't you excited? And I was like, but what about tomorrow? But then what about, and it was always because it wasn't, like my friend Masha always says, she's like, are you running towards a goal or are you running away from fear? Because if you're running away from something, you're going to be fucking running forever. But if you're actually running towards a goal, you understand that it's going to take you a minute to get there. And I was like, damn, you don't get deep. But like, dude, this was such a great conversation. Thank you for like sitting here with me, shooting the shit. You have a new book out, don't you, ma'am?
I do.
Can you tell us more about it?
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of that. It reminds me very much of me, like upon first glance, slightly overwhelming, a lot of color, a lot of chaos, drawings and pictures and rainbows. And then it's like I hide nuggets in there, right? Which is kind of what my content is too. It's that like life is really hard and but here's a rainbow. Like it's like I just want to let you know you're doing okay. But life is the worst, and that's, you know, we it's okay that it's that way. It's normal. It's not okay, but it is the way that it is. Like, life is just going to be hard, and there are going to be days that aren't it, and sometimes people just want to know other people feel the way they feel. And that's what the whole book is. It's like flip to any page and you probably feel that way.
Awesome. I'm excited. It'll be linked in the show notes for anybody to be able to grab a copy. Yeah. And they can purchase that from many different places, but we'll put it in the show notes specifically so that they can find it. And where can people find you on the Instagrams and the TikToks and all of that?
I'm at AKPRZY everywhere. TikTok, Instagram, Threads, Lemonade, Clapper. I don't know. There's so many now. I just made sure to get them all, call it a day, so I could have at AKPRZY everywhere. I just wanted to say one like really quick thing. Talking about, you know, being a content creator and when you're saying that finish line complex. When I hit 1 million followers, when I hit 600,000 followers, I'll be happy. This last month was probably the first time ever I listened to this shit I've been saying for 3 years. And I said, like, oh, this is where I'm going to be for a little while. Like, this is not, I do not need to go anywhere. This is where I'm at. I have a lot going on and I have an amazing community. And like, I had that convincing yourself that like, there's nothing there. There's nothing at 1 million. There's nothing at 2 million that like you don't have right
now. I just
in everything. But I think it was the first time I ever like really in this new life, in this new content, in this new internet life, where I was like, this is where I'm gonna stay for a minute. Yeah. Like I'm cool, which is weird.
Yeah, trust me, I'm with you every day. I had to get that. I went to a TikTok. I was like, well, since you're not going to show our content anyways, and since you're just going to act as if I'm shadow banned all the time, I was like, I'm just going to walk away from this and stop putting my fucking worth into the fact that you're not showing it. Instead, I'll just keep knowing who the fuck I am and keep going on with my day. So, Anna, thank you again so much.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, this is wonderful.